Praise the Lord. God is such a good God. Amen. I want to thank you so much for being here. You know, you have a lot. And just so you can get ready, we're going to receive an offering. And they're not passing out offering envelopes like regular church. But how many of you know that there's a lot of people in need? And there's people that their family doesn't want. They don't want them around because of COVID-19. I was called from a boy in Brazil this morning, it was yesterday, and I've known him for a while, and he's worked for me, and he's a bull rider upper 20s, and you know, because a lot of Brazilians, they have so much toughness that most of them ride bulls. And now, you saw at the national finals a boy that team roped, and he made it last couple of years. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, he was the all-around cowboy and from Brazil. And he started telling me about the pandemic, and they won't let him come over to the United States. He told me, well, if he goes to Mexico and he quarantines for 15 days, then he can get in. And he said, but I don't know anybody in Mexico. And I said, yeah, they like boys like you. So don't go. Yeah, no. But it was just, you know, that's kind of his living. And then there's others. We've had several girls since y'all that don't know me, we started this church about 17 years ago. But I started in the ministry on our own, on my own, about 96, with my family in the 80s, as we traveled and sang and did a lot of things like that. And so a lot of those college kids that I've been ministering to for 20 plus years are now making the national finals rodeo. And a lot of them, from Haley Kinzel, who just won her third world championship. She can play the keyboard like you never seen and sing. Oh, Jesus. And I almost got her to do a special at the national finals, but you know, it's so busy. But this would have been a perfect year because they didn't let them give any kind of autograph signing parties. They couldn't do that. And matter of fact, 20 or 30 of them snuck to the Cowboy Church service that we did. And because they wasn't really supposed to be around people. And but you know what? There's something about not being in fear. Amen. Say amen to that. And so a lot of them are making the finals. But another barrel racer, Jimmy Smith, she, you know, they have this contest in the barrels, in the barrel race, the best dress, and they give them like $5,000. And so she was trying to win it to give the church like $2,500 to give to people in need. And so our heart is for that. And I know it's the end of the year, and there's people that, you know, want to give an end of the year something or another. But you know what? I want to be a blessing. And so in that offering bucket and then this offering bucket, if God lays it on your heart right now, I just want you to come and just give, and let's be a blessing to some people in this Christmas season. Amen. So come give it right now. The good old shout of praise if you want to. Hallelujah. I mean, thank God you have the ability to give. Amen. And we appreciate you so much. We're going to just help some people. And there's some of them that need a lot of help. They don't have Christmas, and so we're going to be a blessing. Thank you, Lord. God is so gracious. I don't know if my wife is watching, but if she is, the present that, if Jamie's watching right now, I'm just going to look at the camera. If you're watching, the gift that I bought you today, it's going. We're going to have to take up several offerings. It's a goodie. Matter of fact, what I bought you, could buy a few horses. Matter of fact, we need to sell one. Plus our youngest child. Thank you so much. Father, everything that the people gave to be a blessing in the kingdom of God, God, thank you. This is the season of giving. But you gave. Wow. You gave your life that we'll celebrate in a couple of months, but you were born. And God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. So, Father, we honor that right now. Thank you, Lord, for the people that just have such a heart to give. And I know sometimes it's so stressful because we want to give more and buy more, and sometimes it puts a lot of pressure on us. And so, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we would always live in our means, which are heaven is the limit. As much as we can believe you for, I ask you to pour it out onto all the givers, all the people that want to honor you when the world says be with family, but this year it says don't be with family. You don't want to spread a virus. Well, Father, that virus has a name. And sir, we serve because of Jesus being born tomorrow. You know, and I know it might not be that particular day, but that's what we celebrate. I thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus being born, raised from the dead, again, we have protection in you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, let's go to the Word of God. And I don't want to keep you very long, but I want to talk to you about it, just a couple of things. The blessing of the birth of Jesus. How many of you know it's a blessing that Jesus, that's because that's who we celebrate. We don't celebrate Mohammed. We don't celebrate Hare Krishna. We don't celebrate some preacher. We don't celebrate some denomination. No, we celebrate Jesus, and he is the foundation, the focus of everything. Now, listen to me. If you've never been here before, it's an honor to have you. I know a lot of family come, and sometimes people still come trying to figure out what the heck Cowboy Church is. But I want you to relax, sit back, and understand that I'm just one little fired up cowboy. If you fall asleep in any of my services, something's wrong with you and your wood's too wet. We need to dry it off and light the fire. Amen? We need to get excited about a Jesus that will not fail you. We need to get excited about not just the birth of Jesus, but everything that he did for you and I as believers in Christ Jesus. You see, this is not just another entertaining time that we come because it's more like a tradition. We celebrate Christmas Eve. No, we're here for a reason. We're here because Jesus not only was born, but it is prophetically a prophetic thing that he give his life for you and I. But his birth is so important to you and I as a believer in Jesus. So I want you to turn in your Bibles real fast, and I just want to preach it to you this night. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. So if you go to the Gospels, keep going to the right, and you'll get to the big book of Acts, another right, and you'll come to Romans, and I want you to turn to Romans again. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And when you get there, just say amen. If you don't have a Bible, then don't say anything. You'll be here for a little bit. Oh, me's. But I'm going to wait for you. Everybody there? I want you to see something here in Romans 5, and we're going to start in verse 1. Now again, what are we talking about tonight, just real fast, being the eve of the birth of Jesus? I want to minister to you about the blessing. I mean, I prayed and asked God to give me, you know, a message, because again, we could preach the same message about what the Gospels say about the birth of Jesus and how it, came to pass, and we read the Christmas story. You know, Mom reads it every Christmas. This year we did it on Thanksgiving because the family was down on our side for Thanksgiving this year. So she got the Bible out and she read the Christmas story. Usually we like it in the Gospel of Luke, and you know, the swaddling clothes, and he laid him in a manger, and you know, because there was no room for him in the inn, and all those kind of things, and how wise men came and blessed him, and all those great things. But I want you to know that there's a great deal of the blessing of God by just the birth of Jesus. Now look with me again, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, in the King James, it says this, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. I'll help you understand that in just a second. Knowing that tribulations works patience. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. And the hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died, and it's in for the ungodly. Excuse me. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commands His love towards us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Ooh, that's good news. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, again, the start of what we're talking about is tomorrow, right? In your life, it's when you give your life to this Savior that was born yesterday. So again, we've got to recognize the blessing that comes from the birth of Jesus. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of His Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to just minister just a second to you about some things that I see here. Matter of fact, I see 11 things that are very crucial to you and I as a believer, which are the blessing of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, I know it talks about His death, but again, knowing that He was born and He lived 33 and a half years, some great things happened because of Jesus being the Lord of our life. That prophetic thing that God said again when He sent His only begotten Son. And so I want to just drop back and begin to go through a few things that give us the blessing, that give us the promises of God because of the birth of Jesus. Now again, what is Christmas all about? Yeah, some would say Santa Claus. Some would say opening gifts. Some would say the fellowship with family and friends. But really, we understand as believers that Jesus' birth is why we are here and no other. Then all the benefits of the birth of Jesus come into play. And biblically, here's some of them that we need to talk about just real fast that I saw in verse 1, that you and I are justified. Say that word with me, justified. Because if you understand that word, it'll mean something to you in the kingdom. Because that word justified literally means acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. You, my friend, because of Jesus being born and now living on the inside of you, being the Lord of your life, you are justified by faith. And you need to figure out that justification is a good thing for you, because all the sins that one does because of the birth of Jesus, because of what he did by dying and being raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, because he was born, we are justified by faith. In other words, God holds nothing against you and I as a believer. I don't know about y'all, but I need that. Man, there was some things I did in college that I needed forgiveness. I needed to know that I'm declared righteous. I'm given a right standing with God. I'm acquitted of all that junk. But you know what? You're acquitted of all the things you did before Christ. And matter of fact, here's the good news about justification. God doesn't remember it anymore. Man, that'd make an Episcopalian shout right there. We are justified. Here's the second thing that I saw in verse 2, that we have grace. Ooh, man, unmerited favor. When you really study about grace, oh man, it's the state of God's favor. How many of you like that? I mean, I know we, you know, when I, it's just what I do. When I'm driving down the road and we're going to get to a restaurant, This is how I believe. I say it all the time. I confess it. I say, Father, thank you for favor in the parking lot. We'll pull up. Jamie, by the way, will say, I agree with that. Well, there's power in agreement. Amen. There's something about favor. And sure enough, there'll be a spot right in front of the door. Now, come on. It's not that we can't. I ride the Peloton every day. Anybody have a Peloton? Don't do it. Oh man, you want to talk about a workout? Woo, Jesus. I mean, this morning, this old gal, I mean, she's, come on, you can do it. Drop your elbows, drop your shoulders, get your rear out, pull in your gut, you know, and I'm talking, and that's while you're, and then, she, you know, you're pedaling, boy, and she's saying, turn up that resistance. Because then it, makes you feel like you're climbing a hill. I mean, there's something about working out at 52, almost. I mean, you need favor. I'm trying to say, Lord, help me, sir. You see, there's something about understanding the unmerited favor of God because of the grace of God. You see, Jesus was born, and we don't now live by the old law. We get to live by grace. We get to live by forgiveness. We get to live by mercy. The Bible says that God's mercy is new every morning. You see, I need His mercy. I need His grace in my life. Here's the third thing that I saw because of the blessing of the birth of Jesus. In verse 3, it talks about joy. You know, we all know about Nehemiah talking about joy, the joy of the Lord that gives us strength. You see, that's what I want in my life. I need joy. Matter of fact, the United States of America needs joy. I mean, we've lived in a mess of an election. And I don't know about y'all, but we want some joy. And I've said this before, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm not talking about happiness when someone does good. No, I'm talking about joy that is everlasting. And ladies and gentlemen, we need joy today. We have enough sorrow. I mean, just this pandemic, my Lord. I told someone where I was at buying Jamie a last minute gift. I said, you know, the problem with these masks, and we're in Austin down there at the Domain. Anybody know where the Domain is? You can spend some money there. This guy says, you know, we used to drink in the garden hose and we lived, out of the garden hose and we lived. And I said, yeah, you know what the problem with these masks are? Is everybody, and I've said this here before, everybody's immune systems are down. We've been segregated from each other. When we really need to assemble and get close. We need to get our immune systems up because the virus don't kill a lot of people like, certain other things. You know, not when you're protected by the blood of Jesus. Not when you pray Psalms 91 over us. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, God's protection. You'll declare with your mouth that he's your refuge, your fortress, in him will you trust. You see, when we start living and understanding about the birth of Jesus, the joy of the Lord, that's when strength comes. Look in verse 3, I want to read to you in the Amplified verse 3. It says, moreover, let us be full of joy. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles. Because look, we realize that that's the fourth thing let me stay on three, because really joy causes patience. That's what it produces. And it uses this word in the King James, but we glory in tribulations. Let me straighten some things out. That does not mean that you should be excited about going through a trial and a tribulation. It doesn't mean that you blame God for sending you through some trial and tribulation. No, no, no. He's given you the Word of God. He sent His only begotten Son. You know, He birthed the hope in Jesus Christ. He birthed the joy. What it actually means is that we are to triumph. We are to overcome in the midst of a trial and tribulation. Not build a tent in the midst of a trial or a tribulation. No, we need to get on through it. Like the Bible says, get through the valley of the shadow of death. Just fear no evil. It's not that God doesn't allow some hope to come in your life. And it's not that God doesn't allow things to happen, because He does. We live in a sinful world. But that's the hope and the joy of Jesus' birth. We have hope. Look at number 4 now. Because if you see in verse 4, you'll see that patience causes experience. Experience is just simply maturity. Now, I like what it says here, because endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character. That's what I'm teaching my son right now. I teach my daughter this. She's in college. And I said, you know, you're away from mom and dad, so I'm going to have to trust that how I raised you up in the ways of the Lord is going to come to pass when you're away from mom and dad. Now, my son, that's what I want him to have, good character. So I said, hey, he's upstairs in the little game room, and he's playing some game, and he I don't know. It's amazing how technology is. Because he's got earphones on, and he is playing some army game with someone in another state. And he says, Chris, I'm going to come down, and I don't know what all that stuff is. And I said, hey, Seth, come to the railing and let me talk to you for a second. I said, you know what? You're 14 years old, and now there's responsibilities. I mean, you can't be a kid for the rest of your life, even though you're still a kid and you'll do kid stuff. But now there's got to be some responsibilities. And I said, so I'm going to make a deal with you. When you get up in the morning, you make your bed. If you don't make your bed, you lose your phone for a day. I'm here to tell you, he makes his bed. Okay, but wait. Because we're going to teach some responsibility. I mean, I want him, and the reason, y'all know, you moms and dads, I went into his room and there's socks laying everywhere, and there's the towel that's in the floor when he got out of the shower, and the toothpaste lid it's all so, dried that we can't shut it, and I had to take a pocket knife, you know, to whittle it, all the junk out, and, you know, all those things that irritates a mom and dad, and I saw his bed unmade, and I saw a blanket laying on the ground, and it had a bunch of it looked like sawdust or shavings, like he went into the stall of our horses and laid down by his pony or something. And then he brought it back to his room and laid it on his bed. I said, so what I want from now on is I want this room cleaned, and I want you to make your bed, and if you don't make your bed, you're going to lose your phone for one day. Okay. He made his bed until they left at 6 in the morning on Tuesday. So I took a picture and I sent it to him. I said, that's one day. And he said, Dad, don't do it. And it was like he was a lawyer. And he began to plead his case. Dad, it was 5 in the morning. You see, though, There's something about maturity. You see, because experience in those kind of things causes maturity. And all I'm teaching him, by the way, I gave him a break. I said, okay, you know how moms and dads are. Sometimes they get a break. The kids are like, praise the Lord. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Our house cleaner came and made his bed. I said, you got a break. But this is your only break. He said, Dad, I promise it will never happen again. Y'all want to see the text? You see, something about, though, training up children. There's something about work ethic. There's something about Jesus being born, and man, he just didn't just sit around on that little floating bed that we see on TV sometimes, where he's just the king and no bad things ever happen to him. You know, no. There's maturity that comes from experience. Mature character produces a joyful, confident hope. Look at real fast. Let's keep going just real fast. This is the sixth thing that I saw from the blessing of God. And it is that word hope. Hope. Because see, hope, you see this in verse 5, it never disappoints. We always have hope. And it was all because of what? The birth of Jesus. You see, I don't have to. Did y'all know right now that there's more suicide right now than any other time ever? Why? Because people don't have hope. They're told in Austin that they're on stage 5. I just want y'all to know that no one's following that in Austin. I saw it today. There's a lot of traffic. And I was glad, because I believe it's time to live our lives. It's time to keep moving. But you see, there's something about having hope. Believers have hope. All because of the birth of Jesus. Number 7. The seventh blessing that I saw here in Romans 5, 1 through 11, is righteousness. The Bible talks about a righteous man. In other words, we've got to know who we are. You remember in Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, we got to seek first God's ways of doing things. That is the kingdom of God. And then His righteousness is just doing things right, in right standing with God. Did you know when you gave your life to Jesus that you were made righteous? Now, the devil doesn't tell you that, right? He tells us, no, you're not worthy. I've got to be honest, in denominations, that's all I heard growing up. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. We're lowly little old worms, not worthy of anything. And when you really study the Word of God, you find out that when you gave your life to Jesus, you became worthy. Matter of fact, you became an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on, y'all. I mean, there's some good news about the birth of Jesus. That we can be righteous. We can be in right standing with God. Did you know when you say, God, forgive me, that not only does God forgive you, He throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness, but yet, boy, the devil brings it up a lot. Our friends remember our faults, but God doesn't. You see, there's something about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's 4 more and I'll quit. Depending on how good you say amen, I can hustle. Y'all hungry, aren't y'all? Here's the 8th thing that I see here. He commands love. Oh, He commands love towards us. That's verse 8. Even a sinner, He still died for us. Why? Because He loves us. Loves us. Did you realize that love is the greatest character thing that you can have in the kingdom of God? You won't be offended. Oh man, anytime the Spirit of God begins to move, that spirit of offense tries to invade a church. We're all offended at something, it seems like. No, not us, but I'm just saying worldly. They're always offended. Something offends you. I mean, when you have that spirit of offense, there's nothing that even a preacher can do right. You're just mad. You're mad because some of the family's not helping. Cook dinner. Well, no, just slap them. It's not a big deal. Just don't get offended. I'm kidding. I'll get an email. Hey, it didn't really work. I slapped her, but no. There's something about not being an offense. You see, no. When you walk in love, nothing bothers you. Nothing. Business, no. You just, even though all the pressures of business and the things that aggravate you, when you walk in the love of God, nothing bothers you. See, that's God commanding His love on you and I. Look at the ninth one. We are saved because of the birth of Jesus from wrath. All because of the birth of Jesus. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Listen to me. When you leave this earth with Jesus as the Lord of your life, you'll bust heaven wide open. Here's two more, real fast. Number 10. Oh, I like this one. Daily we are delivered from sin's dominion. Okay, let me just spend just a second on this. You have to understand, I know a lot of people say, you know, brother, we all fall short of the glory of God. We all have problems. We all sin because we're all sinners. Negatory, Ghost Rider. Not if you know that you have dominion over sin. Now, if sin has dominion over you because you're programmed, well, you know, we just all fall short of the glory of God. You know, we all sin. You don't have to sin because you have dunamis power when Jesus comes into your life. You have the power to say no to Jesus. You also have the power to say yes to Jesus. When you have the power to say yes to Jesus, then you have dominion over sin and you can say no to sin. Now, I realize that it's a process of understanding and getting the mind of Christ. But when a believer knows who he is or she is in Christ Jesus, you can literally say, when sin's trying to tempt you away from him to go back to the days of Babylon, you can literally say, no, I do not fall to that sin's power. I have dominion over it. All because of the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, we should get excited over that, y'all, because the world system is trying to get us stooped into sin, to follow in a pandemic, to change in our lives, to stop worshiping, to stop assembling. And you know what we should say? Negatory. We're not doing that. We're going to live by the blood of Jesus because of His birth. We shall live and not die. Why don't we start saying things that, like, I can do all things through Christ? Why don't we start saying by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2 and 24, by His stripes we're healed. Why don't we start doing what Mark chapter 16 says, to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Why don't we start doing the work of the ministry as Ephesians chapter 4 says, that we lay hands on the sick and we go and build up and we don't tear down. All because of the birth of Jesus. And then I'll close. Here's number 11. This is my first closing. All preachers have three. The 11th thing in the blessing of the birth of Jesus is now we can rejoice in God. Look at this. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I like the Amplified, because that word atonement just means reconciliation, man. Not only do we also rejoice and exultantly glory in God in His love and perfection through what? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I'm telling you tonight that there is a blessing. There's a blessing by understanding what the birth of Jesus means to you and I. And we're going to celebrate it in the morning. We're going to celebrate His birth. Oh, what an exciting day. What an exciting day. A birth the way He was birthed miraculously. Man, what a joy. Do you know this Savior, though? Do you know Him? I mean, there was 11 blessings just right there from verse 1 all the way down to verse 11. I mean, all those things because He was born. And now we get the benefit of all those blessings. No, we don't have to live in fear anymore. We don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to live in unbelief. No, we get to live in all those blessings because of the birth. But do you know Him? Do you know Him? The reason that I wanted the children, you know, a lot of times we'll send them off to kids' church. But, you know, there's something about a kid hearing a message about Jesus. I know they can get it back there, but, you know, the focus a lot of times is more in the fun. But I want to know today, is Jesus the Lord of your life? Just play me a little music, Mike. Because, as y'all know, I told the Lord years ago I would never leave any service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. And I've talked about the benefits and the blessings of His birth. Oh man, we can get into His resurrection. Wow. And we will in Easter. Well, we do it every time we preach, really. But there's something about that birth, man. Forgives you. Forgives me. We are someone. No, you're not worthy before Christ. But after you give your life to Jesus, you're worthy. You, matter of fact, you're called a son and a daughter of the Most High God. So tomorrow, let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that, yeah, maybe we live in a crazy world right now. But the only hope is in Jesus. That's our only hope. And we've got to recognize that. He is our only hope. Father, thank You. Thank You that for 1 hour we sacrificed being away from family, and maybe food is on the stove cooking or whatever's going to happen after. But Father, You're worthy of praise. You're worthy to know that it was a wonderful, wonderful blessing that You were born. That You lived for 33 and a half years. And I'm honored to call You Lord. I haven't done everything perfect, my Lord. But You have. And that's why I want to serve You. Now, sir, there's probably people at the sound of my voice, even live here or watching, that may not know You. Ah, they've heard about You. But they may not know You. And if that's the case in anyone's life, at the sound of my voice, I ask You, sir, to draw their heart to You. Not to a man, not to even a church, no, to You. And then the church, which is really us, not this building, the church, sir, can teach them about You through this Bible. And Father, I thank You, Lord, that if there is someone that they want this hope that we've talked about tonight. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe that's you that I'm talking about. You are here and you've really never given your life to Jesus. I'm talking about if you died and you left this earth, what would happen to you? You see, because there's a place called heaven, but there's also a place called hell. I say it all the time here. I know preachers don't talk about that second place very often, hell. But it's a real place. You need to know something tonight, that God does not send you to hell. But you can send yourself there by not receiving His Son, the one that we celebrate the birth of tomorrow. You have to deny the birth of Jesus. And I'm just asking you not to do that. No, I'm asking you to give your life to Him. Because if you give your life to Him, you'll go to a place called heaven when you leave this earth. And that's where I want you to go. You know, there's no sin there. There's no evil. There's no sadness. Oh man, you want to talk about joy? Ooh, the joy of the Lord is there. But do you know Him? So here's what I'm going to do. At my church growing up, I walked down the front all the way to the altar to give my life to Jesus. You don't have to do that. You can give your life to Jesus in a horse stall, at your place of work. You can give your life to Jesus anywhere. You can also give your life to Jesus right in a seat or watching us wherever you're watching. But the question again, is Jesus the Lord of your life? In other words, if you died and you stood before God, what would He say? Would He say, come on into heaven because your name's written in that Lamb's book of life? You've given your life to Jesus? Or will He say, depart from me? I don't want Him to say depart. I want Him to say, welcome and enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord, heaven. But there's only one way to get to the place called heaven. There's only one way to get to the Father in heaven. This is found in John chapter 14. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. In Romans 10:9 it says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved from that place of hell. You'll also be saved from living on this earth without being able to cast your cares on someone. No, you're saved from that. You get to cast them on Jesus. Every care. You see, that's what I want. I want you to give your life to Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer. All of us in here are going to pray this prayer. We're going to invite Jesus to come into our lives if we're not saved. But we're going to pray with you if we are saved. We're going to learn this prayer. Amen. Again, if you're here tonight or you're watching and you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know if you go to heaven or hell when you die. Make heaven your home when you leave this earth. And then you get to have heaven here, by the way, when Jesus is your Lord. So we're going to pray a prayer. We're going to do it out loud. We're not ashamed. Believers, I want you to pray it with people possibly beside you, in front of you, behind you, that have never given their lives to Jesus. We're just going to pray it with them. But if you're here tonight, you're watching, you've never given your life to Jesus, when you pray this prayer out loud, mean it. And let's pray it just like this. You ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I want to go to heaven and not hell. Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart and save me. I make you my Lord tonight because I believe you've been raised from the dead and I'm saved. When I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven and not hell. I pray this prayer to you, the Father, in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, please don't be ashamed. Jesus was not ashamed to die for you. Don't you dare be ashamed to let people know that you gave your life to Him. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Him tonight, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand and then put it right back down. I didn't say come to the front. I didn't say stand up. Nope, right where you're at. If you just gave your life to Jesus, just be bold enough to raise your hand. And here's why I do this. The Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before a man, a woman, doesn't matter. Jesus says, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. And we're not ashamed of Jesus now being our Lord. Amen. So get that hand up when I say three if you just gave your life to Jesus. Ready? One, two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Hallelujah. If you're watching and you just gave your life to Jesus, why don't you just write a note? I just gave my life to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. It's an honor to have brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. All right, look at me. I don't know about y'all, but I had a good time. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, family. It's an honor to have you here. I pray traveling mercies when you go home. I'm glad that you didn't listen to Dr. Fauci or whatever his name is and not be with family. No, we need to celebrate with each other. We need to get back to a normal life. And a normal life is coming in together. Amen. I say Merry Christmas to you. Amen. Why don't we just say that to everybody on the count of three. Merry Christmas. Ready? Feliz Navidad if you need to do that, whatever. Ready? One, two, three. Merry Christmas. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Have a blessed, blessed day tomorrow. If you're from around here and don't have a home church, we'll be here Sunday. Amen. Right after this service, I know one little boy for sure is going to get baptized. So there's a baptism back there. If you want to witness it, do it. If you need to go, go. But I just say it's a joy that we can celebrate Christmas Eve together. Now go, eat a piece of pie. I give you permission to eat pie before your meal, kids. Kids. Never mind. Just have fun. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a great night celebrating the birth of you. Oh, it is a pleasure that you're our God. I just thank you for blessing family that's here. I thank you, Lord, for blessing these great people. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your birth. In Jesus' name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.